Matt Swaim here. Join Anna Mitchell and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But for now, let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:34.
We are so happy to have Chuck Persner back with us, and he is going to inspire us with another saint today. Good morning, Chuck. Welcome back.
Thank you, Allison. Good morning, and good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chucky. Or we call you Chuckles, Chocolate Chip, but I got a new one. Chuck E. Cheese.
I think that's been used before. Am I right?
I just thought of it.
I just thought of that. It's brilliant, guys.
You heard that from someone.
I think so. I think so. The day before Thanksgiving. What a great day.
Ah,
what
beautiful day.
One of my favorite days of the year. You know, back when I lived in New York, I would gather all my friends together. Mm. They were all back in from out of town, wherever they were living, and we'd go to the Upper West Side. We'd watch them inflate the Thanksgiving Day balloons.
How amazing.
That was fun. Yeah, did it every year.
I was actually in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Were you really?
I was after 9/11. I was one of the security people with the Snoopy balloon.
You had this? You were a rope woman?
Well, I didn't. I was actually in black. We were there in black, just, I guess, overseeing, making sure everything was okay. Yeah, so that's, I was with Snoopy.
Cool. You were Snoopy. You're on Secret Service. It makes sure someone didn't take out Snoopy.
Yes.
That's really thoughtful.
But anyway, I'm so sorry, Chuck.
Well, did you have a favorite balloon in the parade?
Snoopy, of course.
Has to be, right?
Absolutely.
We have that tie. I was a Kermit the Frog guy myself. Josh, how about you?
In terms of my favorite Muppet or character?
Balloon in the parade.
Oh, balloon. That was just such an interesting commentary. You were talking about Snoopy. I'm more of a Kermit guy myself. Like, what are these people talking about? Fictional animals or something? Big Bird, maybe? I'm not sure. I don't even think I know the lineup of...
I'll give you a few choices. Spider-Man? Ronald McDonald? Sonic the Hedgehog?
Oh, I think I'll go with Spider-Man.
Good choice, Josh.
Always a good choice. And I'll tell you another good choice, the Vietnamese martyrs.
Oh, yes.
We'll talk about them today.
Are they in the parade?
And they are not in the parade.
Oh.
No, they had more important things to do.
They are saints.
Rescue Christianity in Vietnam, for instance.
Amen.
Yes, they did. So, today we're going to shine the spotlight on the Vietnamese martyrs, highlighted by their brave leader, the priest, St. Andrew Dong Lac. And we do this because this past Sunday, on the 24th of November, was their memorial. And it's captured on the liturgical calendar as St. Andrew Dong Lac and his companions. So this was a group of 117 martyrs led by Father Andrew, and they died for the Catholic faith in Vietnam during the 19th century persecutions.
Wow.
The group was made up of about 96 Vietnamese, 11 Spaniards, and then there were 10 French missionaries who had assimilated into the Vietnamese culture at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, roughly half were clergy and priests. There was a bishop or two even in there. And then the other half were lay people, and it includes a mother of six and even a 9-year-old child.
Wow.
Yeah, that's particularly tragic.
Wow.
And some were Dominican priests, others were diocesan priests, but it was this blend of the faithful who all were fighting for the faith at the time. And according to the Vatican, Father Andrew Dong Lac was actually born with the name Dong An Tran to a poor family in northern Vietnam around the year 1795. His family moved to Hanoi to find work. 12-year-old Andrew met a Christian catechist, and this is where his story began. He shared the faith with him and baptized him with this name, Andrew.
Wow.
So this is where he encountered the name change. And, you know, at the time, the climate was very dangerous for Christians in Vietnam, and this was under Emperor Minh Mang, who was known as the Nero of Indochina.
Mm.
Pretty foreboding nickname. He banned foreign missionaries. He went so far as to command Vietnamese Christians to trample on crucifixes in an act of public renunciation of their faith in Jesus Christ. So in the year 1823, Andrew was ordained a priest, and his preaching and simplicity of life led many others to baptism.
Mm.
And despite the young priest needing to be hidden by the faithful in order to keep him safe from the emperor, he was ultimately imprisoned multiple times, and each time was ransomed by the Catholic faithful, who were able to spring him, so to speak. Many Christians, of course, during this time were suffering brutal martyrdoms. There was torture, there was beheadings, and it's estimated that from between the years 1630 to 1866... between 130,000 to upwards of 300,000 Christians were, in fact, martyred in Vietnam.
And that's, I think, during this time, Catholicism was considered a threat in Vietnam, right?
Yes.
I'm assuming they thought it was antithetical towards the culture and Confucian values.
Yes, that is correct.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tough climate for Christians, no doubt about it. And then ultimately, his story comes to an end in the year 1839 when he was arrested once again, along with another Vietnamese priest, and this was Father Peter Thi, who, along with Dong Lac, had visited in order to go to confession. Actually, Father mm-hmm. Peter was going to administer the sacrament of confession to Father Andrew. They were ransomed, arrested again, tortured, and then finally beheaded in Hanoi on December 21st in the year 1839.
Wow. I mean, just listening to that, the whole life and everything that had happened, there's a quote I have here from St. Peter, from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, and it really just reminds me of those martyrs. If you have to suffer for being good, you will count it as a blessing. There is no need to be afraid or to worry about persecutors. Simply reverence the Lord Christ in your hearts and always have your answer ready for people who ask you the reason for the hope that you all have. I mean, you think about that. I mean, they went to martyrdom for Christ.
Yes. Yeah. And I believe that's the optional first reading chosen for his feast day every year. I can't say for this year because it was superseded because it fell on a Sunday, but in years past, that has been the scripture passage chosen, the optional passage for his feast day.
Yeah, and Pope John Paul II referred to the Vietnamese martyrs as, quote, shining examples of fidelity to Christ and encouraged their intercession for courage in modern faith challenges. We get frustrated at times because we have to go to Mass on a Sunday, or we're supposed to. And you think about how much these guys would give anything to have that kind of freedom in celebrating their faith and the sacraments. I mean, he couldn't even go to confession without being killed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I mean, he didn't even have the freedom to experience the sacraments without a target being on his back.
Yeah.
What would these guys give for a Mass Times app that tells them every parish
that has masses,
within the 20-mile radius, and you have too many to choose from? But then again, if they could see it now, they would know that their efforts paid off.
It truly is an embarrassment of riches here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. So many Mass times, different churches, and with Thanksgiving tomorrow, it's a reminder to us, we got to be grateful for the fact that we can celebrate freely in this country.
Amen to that. And Pope John Paul II canonized the 117 martyrs together on June 19th, 1988. At the time, the communist government of Vietnam did not permit a single representative from the country to attend the canonization. But 8,000 Vietnamese Catholics from other lands were there, filled with joy to be the children of this suffering church. So no one in that country could attend.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yep.
So he was canonized. Were all his companions canonized as well, Chuck?
On the same day. All 117 on the same day were canonized.
Wow. Even that, was it 9-year-old kid you were talking about? He's a saint.
Yep.
Wow. Yep.
Do they have an extensive list name by name of every single person?
But they do. It's out there.
Oh,
absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. That is, you think about it, that might be the youngest canonized saint. I can't think of anyone canonized younger than anyone who lived to be 9.
I don't know of any. Yeah, I'm not sure. But
I've got a homework assignment. I can go see.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Talk about going out on top.
It really is. Yeah.
Appropriately enough, he is also the patron saint of Vietnam.
St. Andrew Dunlop and companions.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And Dave.
Hey, Dave.
At 8:42. We sent out a few things to some of the Catholic, the religious, what do they call it? The religious education or the...
PSR, religious education.
Yeah, and also
parishes.
The Catholic schools.
Uh-huh.
And they sent back some of these responses, which are great things about Thanksgiving. Their sentiments. This is from St. Michael the Archangel, Sacramental Prep Grades 3-6. Why are you thankful for your parents? And this person... Oh, this is Lizzie. Because of dad, he takes me out to lunch and drives me in his truck because he is a truck driver and my mom is his dispatcher.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Look at that.
This person says they are good and cool.
Aw.
How about that? And what are you thankful for? God and food and that I get to share it with other people. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Just do a few more here. I like this one. Lizzie again. Let me just get to Lizzie's here because I like hers. She says, what are you thankful for? Jesus and my parents. Jesus created my life and my parents love and care for me. And that's all I need.
Love that.
How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. You got a few, Josh?
Nah. Yeah, I got a few. Let's see. Okay, Catechist Anahi and Raul from 3rd and 4th grade. What's something your family always does on Thanksgiving? Cook, go over to other family's house, go around and say what we were thankful for. Mexican food, mole, pozole, play games, eat tamales.
Oh, is that mole?
Huh?
Is it mole?
I was testing you. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know either.
It's a nice old, prepared mole. We all like our mole. And if it's prepared by a Catholic, it's holy moly.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
If it's blessed by the priest.
There
yes.
you go. All right, so we got Catechist Irma and Cheryl, first year communion, age 6 to 7. What is something your family always does on Thanksgiving? Make lots of food. Salad. My mom does the rest. Nice.
I like that.
Yeah, moms are always carrying a lot of the weight of Thanksgiving, as we know. Okay, what Thanksgiving food are you looking forward to? Carne asada, potatoes, vegetables. Okay, we are getting a nice ethnic flair here. I mean, this is really cool. I guess it's not always done the same,
No.
Universally. All right. Catechist Tricia and Tori in kindergarten. What's something your family always does on Thanksgiving? Cook turkey, celebrate with family together. Oh, we got a nice little theme going on here. Okay, good. Allison, do you have anything?
I sure do. Miss Lynn and Miss Maria and Miss Sylvia's second and third grade class at Holy Family. Alex says, I am thankful for my family. They cook a turkey. I'm thankful for parents taking care of me. And I love hearing that. As a mom of three, it's always so endearing hearing these kids saying how much they love their parents and how they take care of them.
Yep.
Bryce as well, in that same class, God, family, and everything. And he likes eating lots of turkey. And again, he's thankful for his parents because they are so nice and sweet. Sweet, sweet. Miss Carly, Miss Elizabeth, Miss Alondra, and Miss, I think, Mavis from the second and third grade class at Holy Family. Uriel says she is thankful for Miss Cardi and Mom and Liam. They like to eat turkey and Golden Corral.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Mashed potatoes and Dad and cooking pasta. So great things there. And then also we have Ashley. She's from that same class at Holy Family, second and third grade. I'm thankful for my parents and my teacher, Eli Carly.